The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect that of the staff and management of Good Karma Brands, but are the sole responsibility of the host and guests of this particular show.
America may have many, many days, but they will be full of trouble. There will be no rest. There will be no tranquility in this country. Until a nation comes to terms with our problems.
Bringing you social and political commentary from his mouth to your ears. Breaking down the issues which matter to you.
You are not put here to be a white man's footstool. You are put here to represent the very best in God's word.
Legendary civil rights icon, the Reverend Jesse Jackson in the studio. Reverend Jackson, how are you?
Mr. Reverend, good morning on this chilly Milwaukee morning.
And I am pleased to have one of the founding members of the Black Panther Party, Chairman Bobby Seale. Mr. Chairman, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
From Mr. Eric Holder. Mr. Holder, so good to see you. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, man. How you been? It's been a long time. Haven't seen you for a while.
The Dr. Cornell West. Dr. West, how are you, sir?
My dear brother, you're so kind, you're so generous, so man, but I salute you and the work that you were doing there. Doing a magnificent job there in Wisconsin.
Stream live on 1017thetruth.com. Call in with your questions or comments. 833-212-1017. Join us on social media at 1017thetruth. It may not be what you expect to hear, but I will definitely give you what you need to know. Are you ready for the truth?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Sherwin Hughes.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday, May 3rd, 2024. Maybe we've been doing it wrong, talking about the black people. Because what we need clearly is more guidance and more direction on how to do things right. We don't really look at what we have, what we've acquired, what we have attained. We've made some progress, right? Remember a long time ago when it was worse? It's a little bit better now. You have to find, and with a microscope, the problems in the black community, right? Because we just walk around, we're happy. We have cars. We have houses. Apartments. You dress very nice. The blacks are very well groomed. Maybe we've been blowing this whole race thing out of proportion. You think so? We have been so fixated on it. And maybe that's what our problem has been. Maybe we should just forget about all that stuff that happened in the past, because when you try and talk to a friend, a colleague, or a coworker who happens to be less than black, they're going to tell you that that was a long time ago and you should just forget about it. Why constantly be fixated on the past? The past is behind us, right? It'll never come back. Maybe it's something that we can learn from. You read it about it in books, and there's movies and documentaries about the past, and maybe we just leave the past in the past. The past is just for history and for museums. Maybe that's what we probably should do. Otherwise, we're never going to be able to move forward. Shouldn't we just forget? Because everyone is telling us to. That's the guidance we probably should follow, right? This stuff was in, that was 100 years ago, the whole Jim Crow thing and the whole civil rights movement, okay, 60 years ago, whatever. It was a long time ago. Let me tell you how long ago it was. All the footage is in black and white. That's how long ago it was. So that even, that's another reminder that these things were a very, very long time ago. They should be relegated to the past, and then we can move forward. And then maybe, just maybe, we can get more consensus with our contemporaries. But we just stay so fixated on the past. The whole racism thing. We elected Barack Obama, right? A racist country wouldn't do that. You know who told me that? And I didn't know until this person told me that. I was like, oh, I was running around here like a whole bunch of y'all. America's racist. And you point to all the different things that give you credibility when you say America's racist. Mitch McConnell said, there's no racism in America anymore because we elected Barack Obama. I was like, well, then that's exactly what I needed to hear. Finally. Maybe it's a figment of our imagination. I'm not worried about getting lynched most days. You know what I'm worried about most days? What I'm gonna have for lunch or if my credit score drops. Like, that is what bothers me probably more than anything else. Maybe the weather. Do I get a car wash today? I'm not sure. Those are my biggest concerns. It's not like 200 years ago or 100 years ago or even 50 years ago. I can live wherever I want, kind of. I have more freedom of motion and of movement. Like, if I go to a restaurant or a lounge or a bar, I don't have to look for the sign that says whites only, because if I see the sign that says whites only, I'm, oh, shucks, guess I can't hang out here. There are no signs that say whites only. They might have a dress code, though. They might have no hoodies, no ripped jeans, no white T-shirts, no neck tattoos, no Timberlands. But that's not race, is it? Have we really taken an inventory of all that we have and all the progress that we have made? I don't think so. We're so fixated on, okay, a couple of incidents with the police. Every now and again, the police get a little aggressive. But that doesn't mean that all police are bad, right? It's just a few bad apples. Okay, even though the bad apples are technically murderers, it's only a few murderers amongst them. They're not all murderers. Problem is, and this is what makes it very difficult for us, and this is why we often say all the police are bad, because you can't tell the murderers from the non-murderers when it comes to the police, because they all dress the same, right? They all wear the same uniform. Like, oh, snap. Like, there's no insignia. Like, if you're a murdering cop, shouldn't you have like a red armband or something or a tattooed teardrop? Because we could then better identify them, because it's not fair to say all police are bad. It's not fair to say that. Some of them are very nice. I've been pulled over before and I've never been killed. So clearly that is all the example that you need, that there are no racist police. Because if there were racist police, wouldn't they have murdered all the black people? Hello. We're blowing this whole race thing out of proportion. We need to relax a little bit. Sometimes you blacks are very, very hard to talk to because you're always talking about the racism. White people did that. White people did that. They don't really talk about us like that. They generally ignore us. Did you guys know that when white people talk, they don't really discuss black people? Did you know that? They don't really discuss their history of owning us. They don't talk about any of that. They don't talk about what the blacks are up to, that there's new black businesses and this is the black neighborhood and this is the black zip code. They don't talk about 53206. Now, they won't drive through it. They won't go there. They may buy a house there. But they don't fixate on race the way we do. And maybe that's our problem. We're so difficult to talk to because we're always blah, 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 and the racism and blah, blah. And oh, and don't get me started on Donald Trump. You know he's a businessman. So I'm just saying that's a good thing about Trump. At least he knows business. He's going to run this country like a business, like he runs his businesses, which I read they're very successful. Listen, we're not electing Donald Trump to be our pastor. We're electing him to be a president. Yeah, he likes the porn stars. And he likes to cheat a lot. He has many baby mamas. One, his most recent baby mama, I ain't seen her in a couple of years. Where's Melania been? Has Melania been with him at all? That's embarrassing. But again, we don't need him to be morally superior. We just need him to get gas prices down. Remember gas prices? Or better yet, the golden era of the Gray Jet Cafe. When Donald Trump was president, boy, oh boy, things were good for the Gray Jet Cafe. You guys familiar with the Gray Jet Cafe? It's a black-owned vegan restaurant that swears that when Trump was president, they didn't have to deal with the high price of food and the high price of inflation. Now, because Biden is here, you old silly man, Joe Biden, you old hair-sniffing old man, you're old Joe Biden, you fall all the time. When the Gray Jet Cafe was opened in 2023 under the Trump presidency. They were doing so much better. We're going to have a new aim, new goal for this show. We're not going to be talking about all that stuff a long time ago, all that old racism stuff, all that black and white footage stuff. The civil rights movement worked. Look at me. I have a radio show where I get to talk to people. Back in the day, I couldn't have a radio show, or I just would have to play music. I get to talk now. There's no racism anymore. Or if there is, it's either a figment of our imagination or maybe we are misinterpreting things, right? We're listening to a new and improved Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. My anti-racism thought program will be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
I want you to just forget about it. The racism stuff is blown out of proportion. You blacks are doing great. Nobody's lynching you anymore. There's nobody burning a cross in your yard anymore. You can walk outside and plant flowers. I drive through your black neighborhoods. Y'all got tulips, daffodils, and a lot of dandelions, too. Yep, a lot of those. But they're a beautiful wildflower. You guys are just, dare I say, I can say this to black people, but I really can't say this to women because they get offended. Y'all are just too sensitive. You're so emotional, you blacks. I want you to just forget. Here's an article from the New York Times I'd like to present you with. Property is generally worth less if it's owned by a black American. That sobering fact, cemented by 150 years of assessment data, underpins inequality to this day. Black Americans' properties have been undervalued by home appraisers and overvalued by tax assessors. That double punch has left black homeowners more prone to falling behind on their taxes and ultimately to dispossession of their houses. One case involved a black landowner in North Carolina. He lost his land in the year 1920. That loss affected his family for generations. And his great-great-grandson, another guy you should probably just forget about, his name was George Floyd, was murdered by a police officer after a phone call to the authorities in Minneapolis about a counterfeit $20 bill. Just forget about that stuff. It was a long time ago. A book published last week called The Black Tax explains how the case of Floyd's great-great-grandfather was not unusual under a system that crystallized soon after black Americans began acquiring property in America. Black folks remain the only racial group with a home ownership rate that is still below 50%. I need you to forget those numbers, ladies and gentlemen, like they don't exist, like it never happened. The author of The Black Tax, Andrew Carl, also a history professor at the University of Virginia, and he provides great details on how African Americans have been given the short end of the stick when it comes to owning land and property. Black Americans at one point in time owned more than 16 million acres of land in the year 1910. On the surface, that looks like success, but we wonder what lies beneath it. It was a remarkable achievement in the face of enormous odds. By the turn of the 20th century, a clear pattern of overtaxation of black-owned property was apparent across the American South. More deviously, local tax authorities were quick to auction off black-owned land for unpaid taxes, especially when the land in question had become more valuable. While owning land afforded black people living in the Jim Crow South a degree of independence that black tenant farmers and sharecroppers lacked, the responsibilities that came with owning land, such as, you know, paying taxes, also carried major liabilities. The abuse of local taxing powers worked to ensure that whatever land black people managed to acquire would remain vulnerable to dispossession. Local tax assessors enjoyed and still enjoy a remarkable amount of discretion over the valuation of local property for taxes. They were, in a sense, accountable to the voters who put them in office, which, because of disenfranchisement, meant that they were unaccountable to black property owners and could overtax black property owners with impunity by grossly underassessing the value of large plantations and estates, as well as smaller white land holdings. Local tax authorities purposely allowed the wealthiest landowners to pay minimal taxes and starve local governments of revenue, which also shifted local tax burdens decisively onto disadvantaged, disenfranchised black citizens. They're doing that now. Did y'all get your assessments last week? Bet you did. Were you shocked? Your assessments went up a whole bunch. Tax assessors have been singing the same tune in this country since the beginning of the 20th century. They operate essentially with the impunity. So here's what they can do. And I've been following this and sharing this information with you as it becomes much more apparent. They use taxes to take people's property, to take your livelihood. Or imagine this. Let's say you do all the right things. You go to school. You get you an education. You get a degree. We're telling people to go into the trades. People are carpenters and electricians, and they do the HV and the AC. People are plumbers now. You know what plumbers do? They plumb. We're telling them to do all those things. Look at that. They're making money, doing much better in life. Now we're going to raise the Milwaukee County sales tax. Oh, okay. That's fine. But that's okay because I'm making more money. That's okay. Now we're going to raise the city of Milwaukee sales tax five times that of the county tax. Well, that's fine, I suppose. If you must. Then we are going to assess your property at a higher value. Does not mean the value of your property is going up. It means the value of your property in which the city is going to require you to pay taxes is going up. So that's going to take more of your money. So even when the lowest paid, lowest income group of Americans does everything they're supposed to do to make more money and to get more income, there are these other forces called taxes that take more of your money. And then there's this other thing, which apparently Joe Biden is responsible for. It is called inflation. But the way that they have used the tax system to dispossess black people of their land is still going on to this day. While history doesn't necessarily repeat itself, it certainly rhymes. And so you would think, so you're raising my property tax assessment. Fine, great. That means more money for the schools, right? Because that is the primary source of revenue for our schools. Fair enough. We're going to have better schools. That all works out. Well, it's almost like paying tuition, right? People that move to areas that have really, really high property taxes, a lot of times, especially in suburban communities, the schools are really, really good. And it might even be more cost effective to pay a little bit more on property taxes if your kids get to go to really, really good schools. But not here, not in the majority black city of Milwaukee. They'll raise your property tax assessments, give more money to the schools. The schools say that still ain't enough money. Ask for a referendum, get the referendum, and they're going to further increase our taxes with that. I need y'all to just lay all this out on a piece of paper and make that make sense. If you slowly siphon away increasing black income, you maintain a level of poverty, therefore a level of power over the black community in perpetuity. And it's literally happening right in front of our faces. Isn't it the craziest thing ever that your property taxes are going up and the schools get that money? That is the operating revenue that the schools have. Now, they get some investment from the state, but most of our schools in Wisconsin, especially in Milwaukee, are funded by local property tax dollars. Y'all got your assessments. Your house is being assessed more. So that is a person, the tax assessor, saying, yeah, we're going to just raise the assessed values of these properties so we potentially can collect more property tax dollars. But it would make sense if we could invest that money in the schools. And we do. But the schools need even more money. And here's what we come to find out. they're just siphoning off more of your income so that teachers and administrators and principals can get raises. They're raising the sales tax and going and getting a very nominal increase in shared revenues so that elected officials can give themselves raises. You know, the county officials want to give themselves a 36% pay increase, because why not? You taxpayers only exist to give raises to the people that are supposed to represent you. But I want you to be very clear about this. And again, I want you to forget about all this stuff that is literally happening to you right now. You blacks, all you do is complain. Ain't nothing happening to you blacks. You guys need to forget about all that stuff. This is how they represent us. They represent us by siphoning off more and more of our money, taking more and more and more of our income. And then they, those who represent us, decided that they want to make more money in their representation of us as they are taking our money. But I want you to just forget about that. Tax sales were a powerful and under-recognized instrument of land dispossession, and one that contributed significantly to the decline of black land ownership from 16 million acres in 1910 to less than 1.6 million acres by the year 2000. So in 90 years, African Americans in this country lost 90% of the land that they own through the means in which I am discussing that are happening right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you cannot afford to pay your taxes, you will lose your land and you will lose your house. So if you increase the taxes and just increase the cost of living all around, that's why I've always lamented about the city of Milwaukee is not doing anything to raise the minimum wage. Do you know how many cities have gone on their own and said, you know what, the people in our city are making enough money, so we are going to require everyone who lives in San Bernardino or San Jose, California, or Schenectady, New York, the minimum wage in those cities is higher than the federal minimum wage. We haven't done that here. Now, of course, we want to help people at the lower end of the income scale, because that is just, you can't survive off of that. But if the minimum wage is not going up, $13 an hour and $14 an hour and $15 an hour people, they're not getting raises either. Milwaukee is always going to be a prototype of what it always has been. But if we have more people that recognize what is going on, because what happens is there's just a misery index of black people. We just feel terrible here. We're just not happy here. You know, we're always angry. We're always agitated. We're always looking and nitpicking at every single problem. These are just the unintended consequences when they're just siphoning off your money. Y'all know this. When you have money, you're happier. Because I see you. Income tax time. Oh, we're the happiest we've ever been when we get them income tax checks. Aren't we so happy till about, I don't know, March, and then the happiness is over. While the particular causes of black land loss varied, it tended to fit a pattern. It was when black people owned land that others wanted, or when the presence of an individual or group of black landowners was seen as a threat to the prevailing social and economic order, that black-owned land was most vulnerable. That is the story of America. When it appears that black people are gaining and acquiring and having assets and profiting, that's when you become the most vulnerable. It appears that when black people reach this letter of success, and look at any category of success, that is when the knives come out and they start attacking you. That is when your accusers come out the woodwork. That is when someone defames your character. That is when people start to sue you. That is one thing that I learned a very long time ago. If you believe you have achieved any semblance of success as a black person, you got an opportunity, you got a raise, you got a new job, whatever those things are, you better shut your mouth. You better shut up. And I know that we want to brag, right? We want to go tell it on the mountain. You better not. You better keep your mouth shut, because once they know you're achieving some success and that you're gaining and you may outcompete them or out-earn them, they're coming to take everything. Don't brag. I'm telling y'all right now, this is like, I know I started the show kind of ironic. I'm being real serious right now. You better shut your mouth if you get an opportunity, especially if you black. Shh, don't do it. Getting on social media, bragging and fronting and flossing. Next thing you know, yeah, after further consideration, we decided you're not really a good fit for the company. Yeah, we're going to have to let you go. Oh, you want a severance? Yeah, you weren't employed here long enough to get a severance. Oh, you want unemployment? Yeah, that's not going to work either because you had not yet completed 180 days of service. People who bid on tax delinquent properties at a county tax auction were not the hooded night riders of white mobs that we often associate with black land dispossession in this era. They were often lawyers and land speculators who were seeking to take advantage of others' misfortunes, financial hardships, and vulnerabilities for gain. Black newspapers reported on the gross neglect of black schools and neighborhoods and couched their demands for equal services in their rights as taxpayers. Individuals filed appeals and sometimes received reductions, but that had vanishingly few legal options. They had vanishingly few legal options outside of state and local courts to challenge systemic discriminatory practices. Take a break, come back, and look at how this system that we live and we breathe, we drink its water, we eat its food, is actually inherently discriminatory. But black people, I want you to just forget about all that stuff that is literally happening to you right now and will continue to happen to you in perpetuity until we do something about it. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
See, if you just forget about what was taken from you, what was stolen from you, and how they create a system that is inherently unfair, you'll be fine. Just don't think about that stuff. If they increase your assessment and they tax you more, but the value of your property, especially if you live in a black neighborhood, is depressed, I need you to think about the double economic whammy. And I know that you guys hate poor black people because you blame them for not working. I know, I totally understand those poor lazy blacks. They get all the welfare, don't they? And the reason why the blacks don't like the migrants is because the blacks are like, ooh, the migrants finna get our stamps. Build that wall. Those are our stamps. If they increase the amount of money that you owe in taxes and your wages aren't going up, your income isn't going up, and the value of your property is depressed, it's just a matter of time before you are facing financial ruin. In the average 50 metropolitan areas, homes in neighborhoods where the share of the population is 50% black are valued at roughly half the price as homes with no black residents. Across metro areas in America, housing prices are systemically lower, where black people and black population share is higher. In neighborhoods with less than 1% of the population being black, we refer to non-black neighborhoods, median listing prices on Zillow are $341,000 compared to $184,000 in majority black neighborhoods. I've been saying this forever. Just the appearance of black people in a neighborhood automatically drops their property value. Automatically. There could be no other factors. It's not even that there's more crime. You can have a upper middle class, college educated black neighborhood. Everybody's married. They all have children. Just because you have a majority black population there, their property values are going to be worth less, but they can raise the assessments. So your property is worth less, but you're paying more in taxes on property that is comparatively 50% less in value than if white people have pictures on the wall. But you need to forget about that, black people. That's not a big deal. Just shh. Median listing prices on Zillow are $341,000 in white neighborhoods compared to $184,000 in majority black neighborhoods. Using Census Bureau estimates from homeowners yield similar discrepancies. Comparing only homes within the same metropolitan area, both data sources suggest that home values are just over 50% lower in neighborhoods where the black population is 50% or higher compared to neighborhoods with zero black residents. That's the biggest slap in our face. Because they're not saying, all right, blacks, because you live there, the value of your property is clearly going to be depressed because, I mean, come on, blacks. Well, let's tax you less, too, on this property that is undervalued. They're doing literally the opposite. Imagine that. You're still at an economic disparity, even if you do the right thing. That is the problem with America. You are telling black folks, here is what you need to do to be successful, blacks. Dedicate your life to these things. Get married. Stay married. Go to school. Get education. Now we're telling black folks to go into the trades, be a carpenter, HVAC, or do plumbing because plumbers, they plumb. And then you buy a house and everything will be fine. They still find ways to cheat us and to trick us even when we follow their rules. That, ladies and gentlemen, is institutional and structural racism. Buy a house, they say. You're going to gain, you know, equity. You're going to have an asset, they say, which is true. But you are going to have less simply because of the color of your skin. That's it. That is literally the only factor. You got to keep in mind, black homeowners, more often than not, have their stuff together. They got a job, at least. Somewhere along the line, they got a decent enough credit score, qualified for a down payment, right? They're following most of the rules. Many years ago, they used to have a dollar house program. Somebody brought this to my attention years and years and years ago. I was like, wait, what? Yeah, a dollar house program where the city of Milwaukee, for whatever reason, owned a bunch of properties, usually tax foreclosures or buildings get abandoned, whatever, and they would sell houses, not kidding you, for $1. Now, the houses needed some repair. They needed to get up to code. They needed a roof. They needed some gutters. So what people would do is they would borrow the money, a traditional mortgage, for $25,000 or $30,000. Remember, they paid a dollar for the house. And people were telling me about this program. Black people were telling me about this program. They had a dollar house program because they wanted to encourage and spur not just home ownership, but they also wanted to put more houses on the tax roll so the city of Milwaukee had more property to tax, therefore had more money for services. It was a dollar house program. But then it went away. They had it for a while. But these families that benefited from it called my radio show that day. Because when I heard about it, I was like, wait a minute. I got duped because I paid much more than a dollar for my house. And they're like, Sherwin, we borrowed the $15,000 or $20,000 to do the repairs to the house. And they said, we did a lot of the work ourselves. We had to put a roof on, do a little siding. We fixed up the bathrooms, whatever. Our mortgages were $35 a month because we only borrowed $15,000 or $20,000. They said we were able to start a business. We paid off all of our debt. We put our kids through college because of this dollar house program. Now, that dollar house program went away. I suspect it went away when African Americans were moving in our migrations in larger numbers to the city of Milwaukee because they wanted white folks to take advantage of the dollar house program, not necessarily African Americans. So they stopped it. So we heard about this program from many, many years ago, and we wanted to bring it back. So the city of Milwaukee was going to reinvigorate the dollar house program. Well, of course, they reinvigorated. This is probably 2015 or 2016, and there was going to be a committee meeting on the dollar house program. And I promoted this committee meeting on my radio program at the time all week long. And I told people, bring a $5 bill, you're going to get you five city-owned properties. Well, since the original dollar house program, where there were almost no restrictions other than you had to live in the property, you had to be an owner-occupant, because what they didn't want is they didn't want absentee landlords buying dollar houses, putting a minimum amount of investment to fix them up, and then renting them and charging exorbitant amounts of rent. So you had to be a homeowner for a certain period of time, which is perfectly fine. If you only paid a dollar for the house, you're only borrowing $15,000 or $20,000 to make the necessary renovations and repairs to get the house up to code. That is, we're talking about a mortgage of less than $100 a month. Some of y'all pay 10 times that and you're renting. So when they reinvigorated the dollar house program all around 2015, they had to put in a couple of additional rules. Okay. You had to, because remember the original incarnation of the program, you didn't have to have anything. There was no requirements. You had to qualify for a $20,000 loan, which is a lot easier to qualify for, ladies and gentlemen, than a $300,000 loan. because the banks knew it would be a worthwhile investment for them. So they would give these, like in the 70s, they would give these property owners the $10,000, the $15,000, the $20,000, because they know if that money was invested in that home would be worth a lot more money. Then people could refinance and pull money out. The banks are all happy because they're making more money, et cetera. So when they reinvigorated the program, here's what they did. So not only did you have to qualify for whatever amount you were borrowing to fix the property up in the newest version of the Dollar House program, you had to show that you had at least $100,000 in the bank. Now, that wasn't a requirement in the original Dollar House program, but they made it a requirement in the new one. But then they did this other thing, the piece de resistance. They did a background check before you could buy a quote unquote dollar house from the city of Milwaukee. You had to pass a background check. You couldn't be a felon and buy a house from the city. I want you to tell me, how on God's green earth is that legal, legitimate, fair? How does that make sense? What does someone's previous criminal history have to do with them being a homeowner that wants to live in a stable neighborhood? Nothing. They did it to keep black people out. And this was in 2015. So they ended up scrapping the program. Either they scrapped it or they changed the rules, and then this made it more difficult. They kept the dollar amount you had to show. Like, you had to show a certain amount of money that you had in the bank, which most people who are buying a damn dollar house don't have $75,000 or $100,000 in the bank. So that was something systematically that they did as recently as 9 years ago in the city of Milwaukee to prevent black home ownership. The devaluation of black neighborhoods is widespread across the country. There are 119 metropolitan areas with at least one majority black census tract and one census tract that is less than 1% black. In 117 of these 119 metro areas in America, homes in majority black neighborhoods are valued lower than homes in neighborhoods where blacks are less than 1% of the population. The only exceptions in the entire country are Gainesville, Florida, and Sebring, Florida. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
This was January 11, 2000. 17. An informational meeting at City Hall disappointed hundreds of city residents hoping to take advantage of a new program that will sell city-owned foreclosed properties for a buck. Only developers can purchase the properties. The recently announced City of Milwaukee program allows developers to buy city-owned foreclosures in the greater Sherman Park area for a dollar. They would be required to employ one unemployed or underemployed individual on each project. Participating developers also will be required to buy at least 5 one- or two-family homes and will receive a $10,000 grant per house. Developers must renovate the homes to be code compliant and can rent, offer a rent-to-own program, or sell to owner-occupants once the repairs are made. Do y'all know how offensive that was? So I thought this was in 2015. It was in 2017. So we heard about this meeting at City Hall. So I talked about it that whole week on the radio. Hey, everybody, go down to City Hall, get you a dollar house. Well, what they didn't tell us in the original press release, because it was only supposed to be for developers, well, they didn't tell us that. Could you imagine the house next door to you? You're renting your house. You're paying $1,100 a month for rent, right? The house next to yours is for sale for a dollar, and you can't buy it because a developer is going to buy it, fix it up, and then rent it to somebody else for $1,000 a month. When I say people were mad, oh, they was mad at that. And then when they said, okay, because people are upset that it's only for developers, fine, we'll have a program that's available for homeowners, because that was the biggest sticking point. People wanted to own their property, but it was difficult. It's difficult to obtain the necessary down payment. You know, people didn't have the necessary credit score. But if you're buying the house for a dollar and just have to spend the money to get it up to code, you can go from a renter to owning a home and having some equity and having some assets. Remember, these are the rules they are telling us to follow if you're black to be successful. They said, okay, fine, we'll open up the program to regular average folks. Well, you got to show you got $75,000 in the bank. And there was another caveat too that I'm, oh, you can't be a felon. That was the other part, which was totally unnecessary to add. But even when they say that they were going to make it accessible to regular, average, everyday Milwaukeeans who wanted to go from renting to owning, so, oh, we're going to do a background check just in case. What does that have to do with anything? Because you're a criminal. Because here's the thing. If banks did that, it would be federally illegal. Could you imagine going to a bank and applying for a mortgage and say, yeah, you're a felon. Sorry. You can sue the bank. Participating developers will also be required to buy at least 5 1- or 2- family properties and will receive $10,000 grants per home. Could you imagine if they did that with an individual like property owner? If I could buy 5 houses for a dollar and the city gave me 10 grand to fix up each property, and if I put a little sweat equity in some of these houses, I wouldn't even have to use the whole $10,000 to fix up the houses. Quote, I have my reservations, said Sherman Park Community Association Board President Barry Givens. History has shown that investors come in, they sweep up property, and they don't really take care of the properties. And there's a reluctance from some of these absentee landlords in trying to address the issues that the community raises. So just for a moment, imagine a neighborhood where a house goes up for sale and a hedge fund or a developer or some investment firm comes and buys these properties, and they can give the city asking prices, or they can give other sellers asking prices. Are y'all ever getting these random text messages where they know your name and they know the address of your house and they're asking you if you want to sell your house? Like, there's actually something that's going on right now. So just imagine this for a moment as we are discrediting and disrespecting and demeaning Black neighborhoods. Imagine an African-American family wants to sell their house near the Sherman Park neighborhood, okay? One of these out-of-state investors can give them $250,000 for their house, sight unseen, no inspection whatsoever. They then, this out-of-state firm, rents that property to whomever. And maybe it's a Section 8 property now. So even the people that are living in there, they're only paying 30% of their income to live in this house. Meaning if they make $1,000 a month, they're only paying $300 a month, and the federal government is paying for the rest. Those people that are living in that property, in that neighborhood, they really don't care. They don't own it. They don't care if there's garbage outside. They don't care if the property is in disrepair. And the owner of the property lives somewhere else, lives in Texas, or the firm is registered in Delaware. They've never even seen this property in the city of Milwaukee that they own, haven't really screened the renters. And I want you to multiply that times thousands, thousands of streets, thousands of blocks, thousands of neighborhoods. That is why some of the neighborhoods look like they're in disrepair. Because the city was quicker to sell those properties to out-of-state investors that literally don't care. They don't care that a kid is getting shot. They don't care that dope is being sold. They don't care that women are prostituting right in front of the bus stop where kids are waiting on the bus to go to school. They don't care. But what happens is the people that are stuck in those neighborhoods, they get blamed for how it looks when you drive through it. And if you can blame Black people for the conditions that were created by a system that hates Black people, that's how you win the game. Because you simply blame the vulnerable people who were stuck living in squalor through no fault of their own. And then at the same time, if they do decide to become homeowners, raise their property tax assessments, raise their sales taxes. Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, is it not? Make sure that the public schools are also underperforming, because that's going to set in a whole nother generation of inequality. Let's see what we got here. Oh, the housing covenants. Oh, that's the best part. How about this one here? Luke McElroy, a Black farmer who owned 155 acres of land in Cherokee County, Alabama, was shot to death in 1949 by a neighboring white farmer because the neighboring white farmer wanted his property. In Amite County, Mississippi, Reverend Isaac Simmons, also a Black farmer, was lynched by 6 white men in 1944 when he refused to give up his farmland to the men who thought it might be valuable because it had oil deposits. The men then brutally beat Reverend Simmons' son and ran him out of the county. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.